Same thing with budgets. Find something fun to make you guys do something that's uncomfortable. I mean, that's what's worked for me. And hopefully that's helpful for others. And then when it comes to talking to your spouse, your partner, your business partner, have that conversation together. What do we want to accomplish? And so more and more, my wife and I keep throwing out all these different vacations and trips we want to go to. You know, once we hit certain levels, we're already doing fun things, but how do we next take it to the next level? So what are we willing to, here comes the delayed gratification we've talked about in the past. What are we willing to sacrifice today to get there sooner?
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my awesome co-host, Tammy Brennan, on.
You know, I was sitting there wondering, is he going to call me Tammy B today or Tammy Brennan?
I'm in boring mode again.
Oh, no. We don't like that.
And with that, and ready, everyone's going to turn off the podcast in 10 seconds. I figured, you know what? That's why I'm on this boring roll. Let's do budgeting part two.
I love it. Let's do it.
So, but the title of this, it'll end in a fun way. And then maybe we'll just go to some simple stuff for the next podcast. Simple stuff that all makes good money for people. And it's probably more fun than discussing budgeting. But the title of this podcast today, and if I shared with this with you offline, or if we talked about it in a prior podcast, let me know. But the title of today's podcast is 1 + 1 = 3.
I like it.
Have we discussed it ever offline before?
I'm not sure.
We were discussed it on a podcast before. I don't think we have.
I'm not sure about that either.
Yeah, the challenge is I always pride myself on a strong memory, but at the same time, I've learned to forget things so I can sleep at night, or I just wake up thinking about everything. So a pen and a paper and putting it somewhere you trust is powerful because you can just let it go till you're ready to tackle it the next day. But 1 + 1 = 3, and this is going to be budgeting continued. And I was being a big baby last week because finally took a vacation, go up to Tahoe, and then my wife's sick and I got sick. So I was like, boo-hoo. And then I kind of equated to maybe some people wouldn't find the joke funny, but you know, retiring, not a joke really. I say never retire. Don't retire. Become financially free. Become financially independent. Stop doing something because you just don't enjoy it more. You've earned that right. You've got the income. You don't enjoy your job anymore. You're not getting paid to have fun. You're not getting paid to learn. Then go find something else, go create and go produce. But I kind of equated me getting sick. Like I relaxed to, I got sick, right? When on vacation. So when I talked about that time where, you know, literally the person on his way to retirement died.
Yeah.
It's like, geez Louise, not a way to live life. And retire means to put out a service, continue to produce, continue to create, just find something else you're passionate about. I mean, my dad, I haven't seen it yet, but he just got this really fancy toy. I should say, if my mom's listening, it's a tool, a real fancy
nice.
Tool for doing home improvement on the house, and something he loves and is passionate about. And so his new profession, I mean, nuclear engineer, real estate, all this stuff, running computer land, open up the franchise. If you go back to one of the podcasts where I interview him, it's a great story. But essentially, he bought this really neat CNC, I don't know what it's called, but CNC machine for carving wood.
Nice.
And he went out he doesn't like flying. He flew to Texas to be nonstop training for several days. And he probably won't appreciate me explaining his age, but you know, he's definitely in the quote unquote retirement years, right?
Right.
And but he's still learning, still creating. And so now he wants to create all this great wood with this fancy machine, plus all the other tools, toys, the other tools that he has in the wood shop. And so he's still creating, still producing.
That's a perfect example. I think people, when they're thinking they don't like what they do, and they think, well, how can I serve? How can I be of service and still have fun? I think that's a confusing question for people. And your dad has found a perfect way.
Yeah. And so I always, it just, he has, you know, plus all the other things my mom has him tackling. But I think, I don't know if you've heard this term. I'm sure I've heard it from my dad. He said that, he's never, in retirement, he's never been so busy.
Yes, yes. I've heard that a lot too.
A lot of his friends say that. I mean, I see these guys, 60s and 70s, I mean, working just as hard now than I remember when I was a kid. You know, something innate in them.
Yeah, there's a story, I just saw it. Some dude in his 60s is joining the Army. Or Navy. One of the two.
Really?
Yeah. He says he's in his prime, in his 60s.
It's interesting. I'd love to see that article. Was it an article? Or?
Yeah. My sister actually posted it. So oh. I think I can find it for you and resend it.
Email it to me and then maybe we'll put it up on the podcast. People want to read it. That's very interesting to me. Yeah. So my whole point was that was just me being a big baby about getting sick / allergies. Who knows what the heck it is. But, you know, Reno, Tahoe area, I love this area. But it's probably the only area I'm allergic to. I mean, the state flower from Nevada, I believe, is juniper or sagegrass, which I'm highly allergic to. But growing up back east, nothing got me. So how interesting. But I figured, you know, I was in a kind of a bad mood doing that podcast last week. But and being a baby, I was like, hey, let's talk about this most boring topic in the world, which is budgeting. And let's just why not? I've been warning about it. But if we talked about, I mean, it really makes a big difference. You know, you have to become an adult when you started your company in 2009, when I started my company, and never budgeted prior, but then you have a business. It's amazing how budgeting allows you to survive and grow. And here we are today on the podcast. Amazing. And you apply that same principle to budgeting as you do for your company, you apply it to your personal life. Watch out. And I ended it last week saying, hey, I want to make this sound very exciting. I think you used the word, hey, yeah, let's make it sexy, right? As boring as it sounds, and I will come up with some fancy word for budgeting that sounds exciting. Every marketing person I talk to says, gosh, man, you say budgeting, that is just such a horrible word.
Right.
And I think we might have talked about this in the previous podcast. Oh, but the part I ended on was the fact that if everything I teach on the investment side, all these investments outside Wall Street, off Wall Street, mm-hmm. that have pretty, I mean, you know, when you see it, it's like, it's pretty amazing. I mean, you can create some really phenomenal returns and investments, but it's not where it begins. Me personally and clients I've helped, it all begins with living within their means, savings, and budget. And what gets measured gets managed. And all the wealth that's been accumulated all begins there. I've accumulated for myself, my family, my clients, but now my clients, they're doing the hard work. But my family, myself, we did the hard work, right? With my mentorship, which is interesting. And having my wife, and I'm going to talk about that today when it comes to 1 + 1 = 3, helping me stay accountable. And I've accumulated by far more wealth just by budgeting and saving and earned income. If you don't have those key components, and I think I talked to my number one podcast, if you don't have that foundation, who cares? If you go from a $50,000 year income to a $500,000 a year income, you're going to be just as broke. So what's very powerful about budgeting is that, we don't get everything we want, but we sure can tackle the highest priorities for us. Or just when I talk about opportunity costs when it comes to money, apply that to opportunity costs on vacations. We can't go on every single vacation we want to go on this year. You know, I mean, for me personally, I have a company I have to run. You know, my kids have school. You know, my wife has a job, right? All those things. But we sure can pick like, hey, of all the ones we want to hit, these are our two top priority that work for us. This is what we really want to do. And this is what works within the budget. Make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
And so, but we talked about all those things. I talked about different tools, like, you know, an Excel spreadsheet works really, really well for people. If my memory's right from our last podcast, it works really well for you.
Yes.
Right, Tammy?
Yes, it does.
My executive assistant, I was asking her questions this morning. So, hey, this has been in my mind. Let me ask you a few budgeting questions, what you apply for your family. And she loves Excel, right? Mm-hmm. Others love Mint. I've used in the past, and then I've migrated to YNAB just because I love, for my personal use, I just love how it allows you to have more of a dynamic budgeting. And I like toys. I like apps. You know, it's just fun for me. And to make things fun gets me to do some certain things I don't want to do. And I don't want to indicate to anyone budgeting-wise that it's just some huge, super simple process. I mean, there's a big emotional component to it. When I talked to my wife and I talked to others about budgeting, when I say budgeting, have I asked you this question, Tammy? When I say budgeting, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
That's a good question. So no, you haven't asked me that question before. And I would probably say categorizing.
Oh, interesting. Gosh, you're so positive all the time. I'm not a jealous, envious person, but I'm so envious you. You're so positive. someone says, I mean, for me, my natural response in the past, and still I fight a little bit. When you say budget, it means there's something I can't do.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
That's a negative way to see it. If I talk to and my wife and I, and this is where it's going to tie to 1 + 1 = 3, you know, because marriage, I mean, you know, husband, wife and wife, husband, husband, whatever. I mean, marriage is by far more than just a spiritual connection, right?
Right.
It's also a business partnership, isn't it?
Yeah. And isn't money like the number one or number two reason people get divorced?
When I asked my wife years ago, right, I said, hey, what do you think? And I say, budget. And so I can't do something I want to do. none of your business where I'm spending the money. And then that's not really the case, but yeah, I mean, it's like, well, I don't want a budget. And I can tell you for me personally, I mean, there's for this year, I mean, for my company, I really have ratcheted it up, right? I really want to make a difference for more people. And with that comes more marketing expenses. And so, and then that means less for me to take home for me and my family.
Right.
And so I ignored my budget personally, and a little bit business-wise, you know, a little late getting my books done. Not saying I didn't pay anyone time and do all that on time, but I mean, just looking at my metrics, I ignored it personally. I put my head in the sand for several months. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
You know? And then so... But then what do you do when you do that? Let me talk about that too, because like, oh my gosh, set everything up. One thing that's cool about YNAB is they just have a little reset button, keeps all your chart of accounts, whatever they call it, set up, and you just hit the reset button.
Nice.
And so I was trying to backtrack several months, and I was like, what a pain in the butt. Does it really matter? It's already happened. Let's just start now. And this is, I don't know, a month or so ago. But I literally, myself personally, I stuck my head in the sand because I didn't want to look at the butt. I didn't want to see the expenses going out, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Now, but here's the fun part. So it's like grades, right? You know you did really well on the test, or you can't wait to see your grades in school, all right? You know that you did all this work, you put everything into it, and you see your grades, and it's like, yeah, that's awesome. But if you did bad, you're just so, you don't even want to look at it, right? Oh, it just disappeared in the mail or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I the best way I can say is if you know, budget-wise, it's your grades, it's your report, card. It tells you, where you're strong, where you're not.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's so super important. And if it takes an app or some software program to make it fun for someone to start diving into it, do it. It will have such a huge impact on the rest of your life. And I don't care if you're just stuffing that savings under a mattress.
Right.
It will distinguish you from the majority of American households in this country.
Yep.
And I don't have the article in front of me. I read articles all the time. But it's amazing how, because with budget comes savings, and it's amazing how many people in this country cannot write a check for $400 or for $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Yep. And so this is, it all comes to the core, is that you don't need any financial advice. Well, you might need someone for hand-holding mentorship, because the budgeting could be a little intimidating, not knowing where to put things, where to, you use the term organization. Mm. Is that what you said?
Categories.
Category. Okay. Yeah. Does that kind of equate to organization?
Totally.
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just, where does it all go? Yeah. And I think I mentioned the last podcast, but I'll recap it again. The way you budget, whether you use Excel or a piece of paper or Mint or YNAB or whatever other app is out there, is that my number one priority, and apply it to yourself, is that before anything, my bankosaurus,
right,
my bankosauri are fed. Every month. Then it goes to the number one need, which is paying my mortgage. And then everything associated with that. And then wants is like me being a pig. I also, pig today, eating out. Ate too much for lunch today, which is silly. But that's not a need. That's a want, is eating out real quick for lunch. And so, but other way, another way I can kind of equate budgeting too is it almost sounds like a diet.
Mm, sure.
That's me personally, how I respond is, and for me personally, I work for food and I hate diets. You're telling me I can't have this and that. But one thing I found, and I'm ratcheting up again, because my wife heard me the other day, we're heading up to Tahoe on the boat, and I'm trying to establish some old routines that have worked really well for me that went to the sideline, which I've mentioned on other podcasts, when my son was born, a month before my son was born. Mm. Boy, did that change my routine.
Right.
All right. No more training in the morning, whatever. And so she heard me in the morning yesterday. I stepped on the scale, see what I weighed. And I wasn't going to bring it up to her, but she heard me. And then I have this measuring tape. This might sound really pedantic, but whatever. I was like, I've concluded that it's not her shrinking my clothes. Something else is going on. And so I grabbed my measuring tape real quick. I have one of those little, I don't know if you call them bodybuilding measuring tape, but just, you know, a measuring tape, put it around my waist. I'm like, holy cow, the numbers are way off. So we're heading up to go out to Tahoe, and she's all, hey, what were you? I heard you measuring yourself. What the heck are you doing? Measure yourself on a Sunday. I'm like, hey, I don't have other stuff get done. It's relaxing for me. And what gets measured gets managed. And by the way, we need to get a new scale because it's broken and something's wrong with my measuring tape. So, and this also, by the way, was prompted. It sounds really bad. But have you ever heard the joke, what happened? What happens when an elephant sits on a chair?
No.
What happens when an elephant sits on a chair?
I'm assuming it busts.
Yeah, time to buy a new chair.
Yeah.
It's time to buy a new chair. And it sounds so silly. But and I'm just going to tie this. How this has to do with budgeting, I have no idea except for diet. So Saturday, I come out of it sounds so bad, but I snapped the toilet seat.
Oh, no.
I sat on the, so I said, hey, Danielle, what happens when your husband sits on the toilet seat? She's just looking at me like, what is wrong with you? I said, it's time to buy a new toilet seat. I told her the elephant joke because she just looks at me like I'm an idiot. But I said, it's time for me to go. Like, I don't have other stuff to do, but I guess I got to go to Lowe's now. I think that's where I went. L-free plug to Lowe's. Just drove down the street and yeah. Time to go buy a new toilet seat. So add to the home repair list. But yeah, budgeting is so super important. And I think a lot of people just, they don't want to hear it. They don't, I mean, look at our government. And this is not a show about politics by any means, but this is across both aisles. I mean, these guys and gals, they don't want to budget, do they?
Nope.
And maybe down the road, I'll get some impressive people talk about this in some of my circle. It is a problem, and I don't want this to be a negative podcast, but when you have all these politicians that just keep spending money, you know, it probably would really help if a majority of them were business owners, small business owners, that really, you know, before they got, became leaders of our country, because budgeting is incredibly important, and it has an impact on us. And so I won't get into that on this podcast, but I just mentioned it real briefly. It's very, very important. And it all begins, and you're not going to fix it up high. If you really want to make a change or a government, you want to improve some things, it happens, has to happen at a grassroots level. It has to come from, it has to start with me, my family, friends, and then spreading it out to clients. So now I'll tie it back to us. So one thing I can try to make it fun on as well with the budgeting side is that I just felt a need to continue on this, the most boring topic ever, but it's so important, is it can be your crystal ball. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure. Tell us. What do you mean?
I hear it consistently, and it's not when clients come to see me, and that's probably the hardest part. No one likes opening up their checkbook like to show how money has flowed.
Right.
Right? It can be very embarrassing, but you know what? You can't get to heaven without going through hell. You got to dive into that stuff. And now this is going to fight out of the 1+1=3 really soon, I promise. But, you know, crystal ball, I would say, is like, for example, when you buy a car or truck, do you buy it new or used?
New.
Or a car? New. Okay. All right. Why is that, by the way?
Probably because it's what my parents did. And so it's just been a habit. I've had like 2 cars of my own as an adult. And so I buy them new and I just keep them for a really, really long time.
The last time I bought my truck, I bought it. I got it new. Because I was trying to be frugal with my other car, but after a while taking it for repair after repair after repair, I was like, my gosh, I couldn't spot <your car." laughs> I just don't have time to tool on this, and these cars are literally supercomputers on wheels now. It's just they're just too complicated. And so let's just pay a highly trained, you pray really perfectionist mechanic to work on it,
right?
Although I found a lot, you know, some mechanics do a great job. Just like any industry, some don't do such a great job.
So true.
But yeah, so then the new car thing, I mean, so with that new car, does that mean you're going to have to get new brakes down the road?
Well, knowing how I drive, yeah, probably.
Yeah, so brakes, tires. You know, I just hear it all the time in like social circles where people talk. And it's like, yeah, man, finally get some extra money. And then I find out I have to get new brakes.
Right, yep.
I'm like, well, wait a minute. Did you buy that car a few years ago? Well, yeah. How many miles do you have? 40,000 miles. What do you mean that was a surprise?
Yeah, right.
You didn't know you had to get new brakes? You didn't throw that into your, here's the horrible word, budget?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you're going to have, so that those are little things. So it's kind of like a crystal ball. So you got tires. I had to get new tires. I wasn't expecting that. What do you mean we're expensive? How long you had your car? You know, I mean, so those are all things that are important that you start becoming cognizant of to throw into your budget. And so it's not a surprise.
Right.
And it becomes very empowering because then when that bill comes, it's already there. It's already calculated for. Mm-hmm. And so the way it becomes a crystal ball is like a lot of people that see all this money just show up before they start budgeting. And just, oh, wow, I got this amount of money in my account. I can go buy this watch or whatever fancy trinket, you know, what would be on a wants list that you want to go buy. But then because you didn't have a budget out, it's like, oh, holy cow, I forgot. I didn't see that. I didn't pay my energy bill. I didn't pay this. I didn't pay that. And then what happens? People run to their credit card.
Yeah.
And then you see all this opportunity costs, all this income that can be coming to you, where you're starting to have all this income streams come to you. Now you just become a financial slave paying these ridiculous interest rates to the credit card companies.
Right.
Right. And I shouldn't call it ridiculous because I guess they've earned it. People are willing to pay it.
Right.
But how empowering is that? You sit down and create a budget, maybe tighten the belt a little bit, but say, you know what, me, my family, more important than feeding the banking industry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I can do is to really drive the budget thing home. Can you think of anything else for me to add on that? I don't want to beat a dead horse, but holy cow, is it important?
Yeah. No, I think you've done a great job. You're going to still tell us about the 1+1=3, right?
Yeah, here it comes.
Okay, I'm ready.
So being, you know, when, you know, I was single for a long time, it took me a long time before I got married. I have friends and family go, what the hell? Danielle's great. What are you doing? It's like, I just like taking my time. I just want to make sure I'm a fact finder. I want everything perfect, right? And she's perfect for me. And I got, you know, this wonderful family. But 1+1=3. What I mean by that, and I remember hearing this elementary school, and I'm sure I'm destroying the story a little bit, but I remember my teacher was talking, I really believe this is elementary school. They took like a horse and wanted to see how much it could pull. And I don't know what type of horse it was. I don't know anything about horses. The horse could pull a certain amount of weight and individually. And another horse, you put them together. And instead of, you would think they would do double the production.
Right.
But they did 3 times the production working together.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Very.
And so if you watch it, and you have to have the right people on your team.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you think, hey, whatever the number is, you would think that would be, you'd be 200% more, you know, if you get one unit done with one horse, you get 2 units done with two working together. But individually, yeah, you get 2, but combined, 3 times.
That's awesome.
The energy.
That's awesome.
And so that's what I mean by 1+1=3. And why it's so super important, and it doesn't always work this way, but if I can, with most couples, I want to sit down together with, or talk on the phone or webinar with the significant other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will ask the question, is like, who makes all the financial decisions? If it's just one who makes it, mm-hmm. great. But if other has a say in it, or makes it, they make it together, they both need to be there, because when you're in alignment, you're going to create 3 times more. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So 1+1=3. That's the whole podcast.
I'm guessing that a lot of people listening may be recognizing that often in a significant relationship, you're not exactly in alignment. Do you have some thoughts on how people can get into alignment?
I can tell you from my experience working with a lot of people and myself and my family, I mean, we're all human. Sometimes it's just not a fun conversation, especially when it starts, right? I mean, especially if you have families that sit down, like, they're like, I mean, this is very typical. I mean, like, when I ask clients, what's working for you? And when it comes to money, it's like, hey, we have a really strong income. I mean, strong incomes. And then go over things. And the next question, or one of the questions is, well, what's not working for you guys?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we're tired of being paycheck to paycheck.
Mm.
And I can't tell you how many families with strong 6-figure incomes, 100,000, 250,000, 500,000. That is a very typical response. We have a very strong income. And what's working, what's not working is we're tired of being paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
And so it's coming to recognition there's a problem and together they want to fix it. Now, and so that's one thing. And I also can say, you know, you can't get to heaven without going through hell is there might be some serious discussions when you get home.
Right.
You know, but that's okay. Because to go on the same path, I mean, that's just insanity. If you're expecting a different result,
right,
doing the exact same thing, and all of a sudden money's just going to show up. No, you guys, so if you guys can work together, and maybe it's just passing responsibility to one person in the household, Say, hey, you know what? This is what I need to focus on. This is your strength. This is my strength. I trust you, manage it. And then we just discuss it. Have a board meeting once a month or every quarter, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nice. Maybe at least once a year. I mean, but something to discuss how money's flowing and talking about. And this all ties to goals and systems that we've talked about. So what do you guys want to, what do you want to be 3 years from now? What do you guys, what do you want to do? And talking with your husband, talking with your wife, talking with your, I mean, not just your spouse, it's your, that's your business partner.
Right.
It's like, and recognizing, well, if we're going to get there, what changes do we need to make? Just have kind of these high up discussions and then say, okay, what are we going to do to nail it down? I mean, we're going to create a joint checking account, or one of us going to manage it, or we're going to use one of these apps or these tools. What's going to work for us? Or just a piece of paper or a whiteboard, who knows? But what's going to work for us to get there? Okay, and then now what are we willing to do? And but that, so there will be some serious discussions on it. But when husband and wife do that, right? When partners do that and have that discussion and get in alignment, 1 + 1 = 3.
Nice.
And arguing is not necessarily a bad thing. Mm. I always avoid conflict, but I deal with it. But I'm good at it. I deal with it all day long. So I always say how I avoid conflict, but all day long. You know, it's just, that's just the way things are. What do you do? Do you stick your head in the sand, or do you have that conversation and then budget and have goals? And then you're not going to want to do any type of budgeting unless you have something fun to go after goal-wise, like a really cool trip. That's where it gets fun. Like a long, long time ago, I don't know if I talked about it, but I don't like running. You throw a tennis ball in front of me, I'll go run after it all day long, or a soccer ball. mm-hmm. I like those type of things, but I had friends doing a marathon. It was the Rock and Roll Marathon in San Diego. And I hate running. But they said it was such a fun and rewarding experience. Well, heck, why not? So I don't think I ever talked about that on systems, but I had a system. I found some good thing to use to train for it. And it started off slightly painful at running 3 miles. And then by finally 4 months later, you're running like 20 miles to get, you know, a couple of weeks right prior to the final race or run. Because you're just running against yourself, at least me. At 26.2 miles is a lot. And I was like, well, what can I do to make this fun for me? And so there's like a cool gadget. I wanted to buy a cool Garmin watch back then. And that was fun, you know, but that was a fun little trinket to get me to hit that goal to go. And then I set a number to it. And then I broke it down to, okay, what are my daily, weekly habits to do that? But I needed just something little fun to make it fun for me. And so I could record it, you know, and some shoes, I guess, right? And so same thing with budgets. Find something fun to make you guys do something that's uncomfortable. I mean, that's what's worked for me. And hopefully that's helpful for others. And then when it comes to talking to your spouse, your partner, your business partner, have that conversation together. What do we want to accomplish? And so more and more, my wife and I keep throwing out all these different vacations and trips we want to go to. You know, once we hit certain levels, we're already doing fun things, but how do we next take it to the next level? So what are we willing to, here comes the delayed gratification we've talked about in the past. What are we willing to sacrifice today to get there sooner? Right? So that's what 1 + 1 = 3 is, having those conversations. Sometimes they're not fun, because they're uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable topic sometimes, you know?
Absolutely.
But you have that kind of alignment. You're just in alignment on that stuff. I'm telling you, you're going to be way, way further ahead. Way, way more powerful than just trying to do it out on your own. Way more powerful than if your significant other is kind of going the opposite direction you're trying to put you guys forward to.
I like how you set up the kind of return on investment by saying, what's the prize? What's the prize at the end? And especially if each one of you have your own separate prizes or something that you both want to do together. But I think one of the reasons why it's such an uncomfortable conversation is people kind of know going into it that it's going to be confrontational in terms of having two different opinions. Most likely it will be two different people thinking two different ways, like two different goals and two different processes as to how to get there, or maybe just two totally different philosophies about budgeting. So I think that's one of the big barriers between people, for people having these conversations.
Oh, it is. It is. But you know, you want to hear some simple questions to narrow that down?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I have it all the time. People look at me confused because it really is simple answers. They're not trick questions. But would you rather have more money or less money 3 years from now?
More, please.
Who's more important to you, your children or the banks?
My children.
Do you want to be financially empowered or do you want to be a financial slave? Now, of course, there's softer ways to ask that question, but which one would you rather have?
Empowered. I don't like the thought of being a slave to anything. So actually, I love that question.
Yeah. And so it's like, and what feels better? Now this, it gets more fun. If you buy, and you buy a car, do you buy a cash or do you do a loan? How do you typically do it, Tammy?
Loan.
And so what would feel better? And I equate this to people all the time. Over time, what would be more empowering? Now, if it makes sense. Now, if you're getting some 0% loan from the banks or you know, these car companies, and you've already negotiated the best price, do the ridiculously lower loans. But when people come in and they got a $20,000 credit card debt and they're paying 18%, but truly, I mean, who would you rather be in debt to? I mean, if you created this family fund that goes out and buys your $50,000 car, what would you rather pay that more that payment back to over 60 months? Would you rather pay all that interest to the bank? Or to yourself, and you already cut me off and answered it. You didn't cut me off. You jumped the gun, right?
Yes.
You'd rather
yes.
pay it to yourself, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I mean, I can tell you this is where it gets fun. So I told you I stuck my head in the sand because, you know, I just like seeing more money in the accounts. So when you see it being spent all these other areas trying to find the right, takes time finding the right marketing people. It takes time finding the right team around you. We've discussed this numerous times offline, Tammy.
Yes.
And you know what a perfectionist I am. It takes time.
Yep.
And I've come to grips with that. But once you get the right team around you, holy cow, to get it. But yeah, I didn't want to look at my budget. I was like, oh my gosh, here's money coming in. Here's a lot going out. I don't want to look at it, right?
Yep.
But then getting back into the budgeting, getting things right, it's like, gosh, man, it's so nice seeing all this money coming into the Green Family. It's just a nickname for a regular checking account, Green Family Fund. You know, my business paying back a loan I personally generated a couple years ago. Mm. Money coming in for vacation. So the way I play the vacation budget game is like I'll allocate X amount per month to go on something down the road. Well, in the interim, I'm dumping all this extra money to my bankosauri. And then when it comes down to vacation time, say the budget's paying back over 4 years, 200 a month. Is it worth going on this incredible trip for 200 a month to pay it back over the next 4 years? Heck yeah, yes it is.
Right.
But then instead of me paying that $200 to a credit card company at 18%,
yeah,
I'm paying it back to myself at, and this number might not sound right for this podcast. I can explain it later. You can just call and ask me about it or shoot me an email. But for me personally, I pay it back to myself at a 10% interest rate, accounting for that opportunity cost.
Nice.
Isn't that cool?
Yes, very cool.
And so that kind of just throw out silly numbers, but you got 1,000 here, 600 there, and you start changing how money flows. It's like, holy cow, when you see, and this isn't exact numbers, I'm just giving a concept. This is just a concept, right? That's real concepts. I mean, I do this and my clients do this, but all of a sudden now you've got 1,000, 2 grand and more being paid back to yourself. And this is what the banks do so well through all their automated systems.
Right.
But you're capturing that interest you would have given to them.
Right.
That's what makes budgeting so freaking fun. And then when you get your spouse on board and she realizes like, heck yeah, I'd much rather you pay all that interest to me, Ken,
mm-hmm. yeah,
than pay it to the banks and vice right. versa. Well, heck yeah, I'd much, and families who are creating these, I mean, we'll talk about it real soon. 529 plans, haven't really talked about them. For me personally, great. It's something you can set aside for college for your children, but I have a way better way to play that game for most people. And so, but how powerful would it be that you want to go finance a vacation today for your family, but then pay it back in a way that is feeding your child's college down the road. And it's going to have more money in it, 10% more compounded.
Right.
Does that sound exciting?
Absolutely.
So yep. This is how through budgeting and tracking and measuring how money's moving and changing how it flows, all through the boring budgeting word, how it becomes so empowering. And then when you have your spouse on board, you're going to be 3 times more productive.
Yep.
1 + 1 = 3. Now, not once, it's not what system's best for you. It's like the why and how do you guys think and how can you best implement it for your family?
Yeah. and each other too. I think that's why.
And each other.
Yeah, I think that's why the synergy happens, 1 + 1 = 3, because each of the two horses or the two people have different strengths that they're bringing to the table. And so the combination of the differences actually creates that momentum.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, I have a family to be accountable for. I have employees to be accountable for, vendors, et cetera. But that meant having my, there's no way I've accomplished what I've accomplished without having my spouse by my side, right? Without Danielle by my side. There's no way. Cool. Way back when, of course, I haven't put all that back on, but years ago, I would have lost all that weight and that, you know, getting whatever podcast that was, but just applying how, there's no way if I didn't have her on board with me to help. It made things way easier because she didn't throw, the food's in front of me, I eat it. But she would, I say, hey, I really need to stop buying this stuff because I'm just going to eat it. Mm. And so she did.
Yeah.
She was part of my team.
Yeah, absolutely.
And still had great food, but it was all healthy. Same thing on the budgeting side. It's like, what can we come together? What's more important to us? And so I hope, were those questions, I know I asked that minutes ago, but were those questions helpful?
Absolutely.
That's how spouses can have the conversation and not be mean and no name calling. Don't be a jerk about it.
Yes.
Say, no name calling and I throw out jerk. But, you know, but I mean, it's like, hey, let's see what we can do together to make this marriage better and better,
yeah,
spiritually and financially. And what are we willing to do to accomplish it?
Yeah.
And then hold each other accountable and but do it in an encouraging way, not in I did my part, you didn't do your part.
Right.
No, don't do that. That's not a good strategy.
That's not helpful.
No, support each other and find ways and understand some strengths and weaknesses on both sides.
Yep.
And what I've experienced in most relationships, most of my clients I work with, you know, each has, right? I always say like attracts like, but then also there's a, you know, there's things that my wife's very strong at that I'm weak at and vice versa.
Right.
And when you have that kind of synergy where you can fill each other's gaps in that way, you can, and be in alignment and have same goals, it's amazing what can be accomplished. And 1 + 1, I always talk about math and how math is, you know, math doesn't lie. And then the whole podcast title is 1 + 1 = 3.
I like
1 + 1 = 3. And I will have something really fun and succinct for next time. I don't know what it's going to be, but I promise I won't talk about budgeting anymore. There's so many resources out there that talk about it. I'll have some more fun. I'll do probably in about a month or so as a teaser for you guys, but I will do it. I promise. And you guys can hold me accountable to it, is that I will have a few fun videos just showing how I set up my budgets and how I create these loans for myself and pay them back. And a test is really easy once you have the answers, right?
Yes.
If you know the answers, the test is easy. And so I'll show the answers the way how my brain works and how that might really apply to others that think similarly.
Cool.
So
excellent.
All right. That's it. 1 + 1 = 3. That's, you know, it's probably tons of things I can go on about, but we'll wrap up today. I just want to say I'm so grateful for everyone listening to the podcast. I hope these stories really help and some of the examples I use, because they're all real world. It's all real. And so I just want to say I'm grateful for everyone and thank you. And thank you, Tammy. And if people have more questions, just go to my website, shoot me an email, go to engineerfinance.com or pick up the phone, dial 775-624-8839. I'm a very approachable person. And as long as you're a person of integrity and I like you and you like me and you love learning, I'll help anyone and everyone. And so that's pretty much it. So you want to do wrap it up?
Sure,
Tammy?
Sure thing. Happy to. So if you are listening to this and you'd like some more individualized help on creating a budget, just recognize that Ken's been there before. I've been there before, and we started our budgeting plan and have put it in place now for years. And know that it is the first part to creating that wealth. And he's so happy to help you on an individual basis. So email him, check out his website, give him a call, and he would be happy to help you and your significant other, if you have one, create a budgeting plan for wealth. So listen to us next time on the Engineer of Finance podcast, where Ken will share undoubtedly more pearls of wisdom.
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.